Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On the basis of the Gospel for today, we meditate upon these words of our Lord Jesus Christ: render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. In Jesus' name, we are redeemed. Obedience to authority is from God. Therefore, we are called to give obedience to all authority that God has placed in the world. We are called to give obedience to parents, to government, to state, and to those who lead us. We are called to do this because in this way, God provides for peace and order in His created world. We are called to do this, that is, providing we are not asked to directly sin against God and His Word. Lutherans have long talked about the left hand of God, and by that we mean authority in the world. Through this left hand, God makes it possible for His real purpose, the right hand, that is, the gospel of saving faith in Jesus Christ, to be proclaimed in peaceful and lawful order. Today, the question of whether it is right to pay taxes comes before our Lord Jesus, but we know from the gospel account that it is merely a ruse. The Pharisees went out and laid plans to snare, to trap Jesus in His words. They did not really care about the answer to their question as much as they cared about how Jesus answered it. It was one of those questions like, have you stopped beating your wife yet? If you answer yes, you imply that you have beaten your wife. If you answer no, you imply that you are still beating her, even though both may be misstatements. They asked Jesus about taxes because they hoped to destroy His relationship either with the Roman government or with the followers, the people who saw in Jesus one who spoke to them as one having authority. The Pharisees tried to trap Jesus in His words because they hated the words of Jesus. He had just finished telling the parable of the wedding feast, when Jesus spoke of how the king of the feast would destroy those first who ignored His invitation, and then, having found one without a wedding garment, who came with his own clothing, was asked to leave. The Pharisees knew well enough that Jesus was talking about them. And so they went out and laid plans to trap Him in His words, because His words themselves were intolerable to them. His words required from them a change of heart and a change of mind. His words required a recognition that this fellow named Jesus truly was the teacher to which the Old Testament prophets pointed. He was truly the man of integrity who teaches the way of God in accordance with the truth. The Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in His words because He spoke with authority. It wasn't just, can't we all get along? And His authoritative word stripped their words of all authority and power and hold over God's people. So this gospel is not really about taxation. It's really about the clash of God's words over and against the words and opinions of men. This gospel is about the false assumption that men make today that the pure word of God cannot endure in the world as we know it. The gospel proclaims to you that faithfulness to the word and promise of God is not merely an ideal, but it is the very substance You can talk about grace and peace all you want, Pastor, but I have a boss that even you couldn't get along with. I have a neighbor or a spouse who will give me no peace. You can talk about generosity and about Christian giving, and you can talk about the need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus constantly and hearing his word. You can talk about gentleness and concern about faith and piety. But there is not much room in the world of reality in which I live for such things as these. For in my world, there is divorce and anger and temptation and strife and even physical harm. Life out there, that is, in the world, very seldom measures up to what I hear in here. And you know what? There's a semblance of truth to that, because it is so. This place is filled with saints only from God's perspective. The rest of us know all too well that this place is nothing but a gathering of sinners, and great sinners at that. These things of the world are the very things that the Lord Jesus confronts you with today. His enemy is asking, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But this is the very same question in a little bit different form that the people of this world want to know. They want to know exactly how far they can trust the word and promise of Jesus. When you speak of heaven, all I think of is clouds that I've given a gutter. Are you just talking about some ideal conditions that we all ought to sort of be this way? Or do your words actually carry with them a reality? The church talks about the kingdom of God all the time, and that is fine, I suppose, right up until our modern Romans hear about it. They are not interested in any competition in our world. You talk about forgiveness that comes from God, and that is fine, right up until the time I fall again, and my guilty conscience waves my past sins in front of me again and again. You talk about how the Church of Christ is holy and pure and blameless, but all I see is a bunch of miserable sinners huddling together for a while on a Sunday morning, and then they go out in the world to brave the storm again, only to be swept under again and again. So, perhaps you too are asking, just how far can I trust your words? You people of God, your Savior, Jesus Christ, your Lord Jesus Christ, is not some ivory-powered professor who shrouds himself in theories and potentialities. Nor is he some mountaintop guru who spends all of his time telling you how things ought to be, but he speaks to you concerning the way things are. For he took upon himself flesh and came into this world and was persecuted and threatened with death. And when he speaks his words to you, his words will not fail you, even when they appear to collide with the awesome forces that this world musters. The Pharisees, you see, asked their question hoping to set up an impossible situation in which the words of Jesus could not and would not prevail. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? I suspicion we could give a lively argument on that one right here among us. But the Lord Jesus remains completely unintimidated by whatever so-called impossible situation your life can produce. Jesus says to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. With these words, you see, your Lord Jesus answers not only your questions about government and taxation, but he also speaks to the reality by which you live in that real world out there. And the reality is this: your Christ and his word are not separated from you. They are not aloof, nor are they merely ideal. Rather, your Christ and his word have come His word remains for you.